subscribe to some ass-kicking shiznit from Nullsoft Shoutcast.
This is the show that nobody told you about. The show that your brother warned you about. This is the show that you probably shouldn't be listening to. This is
Jesus Christ Almighty, what a freaking day.
I'm telling you, getting older, it has its advantages, and it has its interesting side effects.
There's definitely something going on. Wow, it's been a rough ride today for me, and I guess your day was probably a little bit better than mine, which is a good thing.
But, hey everybody, it's Joe from Chicago.
And this is Anthony from Tampa.
Hi, it is your lovable artificial host, Betty. Listen up. My butthole is buzzing with excitement for tonight's broadcast of We Are 40, Episode 40, for Monday, April 18, 2016. And now for the weather. Hey, Anthony, how is it in Tampa for those Tampanites?
Well, thank you, Betty. I didn't even have a chance to overlook the weather script, so this is going to be fun. All right, from the National Weather Service. Yeah, exactly. There goes Roger. All right, current conditions at the Tampa Vandenberg Airport, KVDF. Still sounds like a venereal disease. It is fair and 81 degrees. I'm not giving it to you in centigrade. If you need it in centigrade, go the fuck home. Humidity is 37% right now. Wind speed out of the northeast at 9 miles an hour with a barometer at 30.15 inches and our dew point 52 degrees. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 58. Northeast wind 5 to 11 miles an hour. Tuesday will be sunny with a high near 83. Tuesday night will be mostly clear with a low around 59. East wind 3 to 7 miles an hour. Wednesday will be sunny with a high near 83. And Wednesday night will be mostly clear with a low around 62. And that concludes your Tampa weather.
Well, thanks, Anthony. And now for your current Chicago weather from Chicago Midway International Airport, KMDW.
Someone's got the giggles.
Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 49. East winds 5 to 10, becoming north after midnight. The winds could gust as high as 15 miles per hour. I forgot that part. It is actually really nice out. It's 76 degrees. It's been really nice all day.
That sounds lovely.
Tuesday, we start to get into the rainy portion of the week. A 20% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 59. East-northeast winds 10 to 15. Tuesday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 49. East to southeast winds around 10, with gusts as high as 15. Wednesday, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible after 1 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 62. East-southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 60%. So it's going to be a wet one.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, Wednesday night, showers likely and a possible thunderstorm. Cloudy with a low around 52. South-southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20. Chance of precipitation, again, 60%. Pretty much more the same on Thursday. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 62. Thursday night, a 20% chance of showers before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 43. And then guess what? It's going to be clear, so my plane is going to have a real nice clear shot to Florida on Friday.
Sweet. Yes, I forgot. Well, I didn't forget, but we have to mention that you will be joining us down here in Tampa on Friday evening. You'll be here with us live in studio on the next Monday broadcast. And then we got to get up at the butt crack of the morning to get you off to your flight the next morning. So.
Yes.
Yeah,
it'll, wow. It should be a fun weekend. It'll be a really fun weekend.
I think it should be. I think we'll find some exciting, interesting things to do.
Yes, and folks, that's your Chicago weather. Thanks, Anthony.
Hey, no problem. So if you'd like to give us a call, you can reach us here at the Cheyampa Studios at 813-327-8566. You can also visit us at cheyampa.info on the interwebs. There you can get our blog. I believe you might be able to get our Facebook page there and our phone number and our email and all that other good stuff. So again, that number is 813-327-8566. If you're listening to a recast, just go ahead and leave a message. We'd love to hear from you. We're trying to be a call-in show, but that doesn't seem to happen. People like to listen, but they don't like to call.
Well, and that's fine. You know, they got to test the waters. Maybe it's going to take another 40 episodes.
I know. I'm like, dude, we're 40 already. We've been around long enough, folks. Come on. You know the spiel around here by now.
So it's not, has it been a year?
Almost. I think May is a year.
Is it May 8th?
I think May. Something like that, yeah. I think our inaugural episode was somewhere around there.
Okay. So, yeah, well, we're coming up on a year, and, you know, we are trying to get to 420 episodes, so we'll see what happens.
We are. It's going to take a while. But
we'd like to thank RadioForAll.net, the A-Info's radio project.
Yep.
They host some of our content, and they're kind of another aggregator for tons of different content that we actually use for the morning rush hour.
Actually, I think they host all of our content.
Yes. Well, I use some other stuff from archive.org, too.
Okay. Well, so we do. Okay. So, yeah, that's true. Well, I meant our content as our shows.
True. True. True enough.
And if you want, other than going to our webpage at Listen. Or at just go to cheyampa.info, cheyampa.info. You can also go to the A-Info's radio project and do a search for Cheyampa, and you will get an entire list of all our episodes, which you can also find on our blog as well. So we're in a bunch of different places, and we've kind of done some schedule changes again.
We seem to be
up for doing that as of late.
Yeah, it's good to change. Why not?
That's true. So, you know, as always, we got our Betty with our morning rush hour. She's from 6:30 Eastern until 10:30 Eastern. And then your drive home, you get Toppers from 3:30 until 6:30. So you get 3 hours of Topper excitement. And then, again, we run Upfront Soul all night long, which is absolutely lovely.
Yes.
And then we made a slight change on our... I'm looking at the wrong schedule here. This must be an old one in the link. We moved Joe's tech segment. He is now starting at 4 o'clock Eastern. Right? Yes, 4 o'clock Eastern and is running until 11. So he's still getting a whole 6 hours. We bumped him over into the evenings. And then right after Joe's tech segment, we bounce right up into, again, Upfront Soul all night long. I think there are some thoughts of putting something different Friday nights and through the weekends.
I do have an update.
Good. What's that update?
DJ Sinhappy now has a folder on our drive.
Okay.
As soon as I get his stuff, I'll get that shipped over to the server. And, we're going to have some 15-minute segments of awesome beats by DJ Sinhappy out of, excuse me, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, I thought he was going into the morning rush hour.
Yeah, 15-minute segments.
Oh, I was talking about replacing Upfront Soul all night long on the weekends. Weren't we going to stick something else there, or were we going to do it all? I thought you wanted to do some house mix stuff on the weekends.
Yeah, he's also going to be on Friday nights, but with a little bit longer segments.
Okay. So that hasn't happened yet.
No, not yet. But you'll get like a taste of him in the morning rush hour, and then you'll get a Friday night.
Okay. So right now we'll be seeing him coming into the morning rush hour,
right.
And eventually we're going to get some longer segments from him.
Exactly.
We'll see him over the week or Friday nights, or even the weekends, what have you. So okay, that sounds like a reasonable plan. I think we can handle that.
Plus, if you've been listening to Weekday Rush Hour, then you know New World Notes has been popping up quite a bit, and there's been some interesting programming, folks. It's not only entertaining, but it's also informative.
Yes, there's a lot of stuff that you can listen to, and the randomization seems to be fairly decent.
Yeah, it's been better. Number nine.
I think that's because we gave number nine such a low playlist rating, and I think we figured out the code to make sure that it works properly now, which is always an awesome thing.
Yes.
But so yeah. So
yeah. I cleaned out my device today. It's now. That's why I'm a little spacey, folks.
Wow, clean devices. I should do that. Mine has been cleaned in quite a while.
But I did some work today on the electronics desk. I don't know if you can see, Anthony. I kind of cleaned it up. But yeah, I'm going to be, folks, working on a project. I've kind of been talking about it in my intros. I know it's kind of probably hard to see. I don't know if you can see that.
I can see it. It looks. I can see. You should post a picture to our website, our Facebook page.
I should, and I will.
Okay, that would be awesome.
But yeah, I'm working on a project to do some LED displays. So we'll see how that goes.
LED displays are fun.
Yeah.
We are in need of some work here in the Tampa studio. Our studio kitchen dishwasher has gone out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is that Betty's fault or Roger's fault?
I'm not exactly sure. It was probably Betty because it has something to do with the circuit breaker. And that's more Betty's department. But I did try to get Roger. Roger was going to swap it out, the circuit breaker, this afternoon. But then he got into the electric closet and started shitting all over the place. So I had to pull him out of there before he electrocuted all of us. It was quite ridiculous, let me tell you.
That's pretty nasty.
That's, you know, Roger. That's Roger for you.
I can't wait to get over there to take a peek at Roger because he sounds good.
He creates a whole bunch of nonsense around here, that's for sure.
So, listen, Anthony, have you yet gotten onto the USB charger in your wall bandwagon?
No, not really. Not yet. Okay. Not yet.
And you have a birthday coming up, don't you?
I believe I do. That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
Well, then you may be getting a present.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yes, direct to know.
I have a feeling it might be an in-the-wall USB charger.
Yes. Folks, we hold no surprises here.
Does it support Samsung devices?
Yes, it does.
Okay. That's important. That's very important.
Yes, it supports all the devices. It's a really good unit. Well, it's a Leviton.
Okay. I trust their things as long as it's not a Yokohama Fujitsu.
Or a bad luck rubber banana tree.
Or a bad luck rubber banana tree.
Corporation.
Yeah.
I heard that bump the other day on the broadcast, and I busted out laughing.
Oh, the Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation.
That one and the one Roger came from.
There's a bump for Roger now? I didn't know there was a bump for Roger. I haven't heard that one yet. I haven't had a chance. I've been crazy busy at work lately, so I haven't had much of a chance to listen to Rush Hour in the morning as much as I usually like to.
Perhaps when we come back from our news break, we'll play one of those tracks.
We may wind up doing that. We'll have to take a look. Or actually our first break. Or we can lead into our first break with it.
That's always true.
A possibility. Wow, I have to find it here. I'm looking.
But folks, we've got some interesting news coming up for you tonight. You know, it's just like...
What's the name of Roger's bump? You didn't add it to the playlist. You must have.
I had to have. I'm not actually inside the...
That's okay.
VPN at the moment.
We'll deal with it later. I will find it later. But we're all good. It's all good.
But I believe it's in the weekday rush hour.
Okay, fantastic.
Betty bumps. So, folks, if you
Betty 10? No.
No, because I believe it's a Roger one.
The newest one I have is from April 3rd. We may have to hash this out during the break and figure out
house
where
cleaning.
It went.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to do that. You didn't stick it in station IDs, did you? No, you didn't. Wow, it's kind of lost. All right, folks. Well, we have
I'll
some
recognize
exciting
it when
things.
I see it.
All right. Yes, we have some exciting things here, and we'll. I guess we'll just have to probably pump it out when we're. When we come back from break, we'll stick it in there for y'all. So, okay. So, I'm sorry. I'm a little disoriented this evening. I think it's either my allergies or I'm coming down with a cold.
You know, it's that time of year again.
It's been that time of year for a few weeks now for me, though.
I mean, for us, it's just starting. It's just starting with that allergy stuff, and it's driving my nose crazy.
Well, expect more of it here. And what else can you expect? You can expect some news.
And now for the news.
Good evening from the Chicago studios. Here are your stories sourced from the Skipper. So, Alabama city of Selma is cracking down on diaperless horses. So, Anthony, I mean, you know a city has to do what it has to do, right?
Well, yeah, something like that.
But, like, is this a good use of taxpayers' time and money? And just for giggles, I wonder how many of the riders wear diapers, but I digress. Selma, Alabama, from the Associated Press. The West Alabama city of Selma is planning a crackdown on what one councilman says is a big problem.
Is it a big stinky problem?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Horse droppings.
Oh, horse shit.
The city council passed a law 3 years ago requiring that horses wear diapers when on city streets.
Oh, lovely.
But Councilman Michael Johnson says riders aren't following the law.
Ooh, that's not good.
You know, so, I mean, there's just this constant stream of horses, apparently, just shitting everywhere as these people are just...
I guess here's the first question, and I don't see it in the story, and I don't know how far you've gone into this, so I'm just going to throw it at you. Was this actually a big problem prior to enacting this law, or was I can understand if you have a lot of horses going up and down the street, and the street smells like horse shit, then I can kind of side with the city on this. But if it was like a onesie twosie types of thing, then I think it's ridiculous.
I'm gathering that this particular councilman, based on just the gist of the story, that he just had a little bit of a fit. You know, maybe he's one of those, you know, like on Little House on the Prairie, you had the Olsen family.
I remember the Olsen twins.
Yes.
But I never really watched Little House on the Prairie.
Okay, well, there's a good
I know you just like binge watched it on Netflix.
Yes. Well, these are like the rich, uppity people in a small town.
Okay, okay.
And they've got to put their nose in everything.
Everybody's business. Yep. Gotcha. Interesting.
So, Johnson says he doesn't mind people riding horses in the city of 20,000, but he's bothered by the smell and other sanitary problems created by horses in city streets. So now, the Selma Times Journal quotes Police Chief John Brock as saying officers will be stricter in enforcing the diaper law. He says the department will issue warnings for a first offense and citations for repeat offenders.
Wow.
There could be plenty of tickets. Johnson says he's just seen one diaper-wearing horse in town. That's it, just one.
Well, so, maybe after the warnings, people will start putting diapers on their horses.
So, but is this an efficient use of your policeman's time to go around checking for diapered horses?
Not necessarily, but I have a feeling if this is a wealthy, small community, the policemen probably don't have much to do. I think they're bored. Maybe that's the whole reason behind it. They're just bored.
I guess.
You never know. It's always possible.
I just thought it was ridiculous, and kind of Roger prompted me to the story. He was
like, we should put a diaper on Roger.
Yeah.
We'd have to find a square
looking
diaper.
He does have a special attachment. I gave him the special attachment. It allows him to clean it up really fast.
Does it come from the Palmer office chair product line?
Yes, it does.
Why am I not surprised? So, aside from dealing with horse poop all over the street, what else? There must be other things that can possibly give us road rage, can't there?
Oh, yes. Your cats and rare steak.
My cats and rare steak?
Could what? Eating rare steak give you road rage?
Huh. I don't know.
By John Naish for the Daily Mail. Ooh. The Daily Mail focuses out of the UK, if you didn't know. Could eating rare cooked meat give you road rage? That is the intriguing question posed by new research into the parasitic bug Toxoplasma gondii, which will, at some point, infect half of all adults. Wow.
Wow.
The bug causes toxoplasmosis in the brain and we contracted primarily by handling or eating raw and undercooked red meat, such as lamb, or through contact with cats.
Ooh.
Meow.
Kitty, kitty. I see kitty. Here comes kitty. Kitty's coming. Kitty's coming. Here comes the kitty. There goes the kitty. Kitty's going to go shit on your microphone.
In most cases, the parasite is infective for only a few weeks after you have contracted it. Though the very mild flu-like symptoms of initial infection are usually so subtle that most people never notice they've had it.
Ooh.
Then the bug goes into a long-term dormant or latent stage.
Interesting.
Now, this dormant stage was considered generally harmless, but that view is now changing thanks to mounting evidence that it can influence people's behavior by altering the chemistry of their brains.
Interesting.
Get this, making people more aggressive, reckless, impulsive, and more likely to put themselves in danger.
Ooh, that's not good.
So, last month, scientists at the University of Chicago reported that people who explode into bouts of extreme anger, such as road rage, are twice as likely to have dormant toxoplasmosis.
Huh.
Our work suggests latent infection with the Toxoplasma gondii parasite may change brain chemistry in a fashion that increases the risk of aggressive behavior, says Emil Coquero, a professor of psychiatry and behavioral neuroscience. He led a study of 358 adults. He stresses that he has not established cause and effect, which is difficult to do when linking highly complex brain chemistry with behavior.
That's true. That is a very small sample group, but it's an interesting place to get started.
Yeah.
Toxoplasmosis.
You know, but that means you got to eat a lot of rare meat. I'm okay with that.
But you got cats.
I got two cats, and my litter kitties. The litter box is like, it's hidden. It's kept clean daily. I clean that stuff twice.
Hi, Kitty. Kitty's like, she's protesting. She says, "No, it doesn't." We want the ultra kitty, the ultra Palmer kitty litter box system. I'm surprised you haven't got one of those. You know, they have one that, like, hooks up to your plumbing and washes the granules and everything.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes, they make one. And
so I could have pipes running to my kitty litter box?
Yes, that's correct. You absolutely can. Apparently, most people put them by the toilet, but yes, you absolutely can run pipes.
Well,
no,
what,
your kitty thing.
I probably would put it by the toilet, but...
Because it flushes into the toilet, and it scoops it up. Kitty goes in the litter box. Kitty poops, and it scoops it up. It cleans the granules. It dries the granules. It sanitizes the granules. Yes. I think it's on a popular home automation website.
Huh.
So, yeah. So, anywho, enough about toxoplasma.
Yes. So, this next story is kind of sad, but awkward and odd at the same time.
Okay.
So, a pop star dies after being bitten by a cobra during a live performance.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I just don't know what to say about this one, Anthony, so I'll just read the story instead.
Okay, fair enough.
The Telegraph Indonesian star, something or other, Indonesian pop singer Irma Bule died this week after being bitten by a snake used as an onstage prop during a live performance on Sunday.
That's just... okay, go on.
This is just the ultimate in stupid.
I mean, I understand
the person died, and I'm sorry about that.
It is sad. It is really sad. And what gets me is I've seen them use snakes as props, but, you know, they can, like, de-poisonify them or de-venom them or something like that.
Right.
Or take their fangs out or, oh, granted, that.
So, the accident happened in the middle of the second song when Irma stepped on the snake's tail. Audience member Fernando Octavian Azura told local website Merdeka.com. The snake then bit Irma on the thigh. So witnesses at the gig in Karawang, West Java, said Bule did not initially seem too affected by the bite. And she apparently refused an antidote from the snake handler.
Oh.
Dumb.
Yeah, that's if you had an antidote and you're not taking it, Anyway, wow.
So it's thought that Bule believed the cobra had been defanged.
Ah.
So she was well known for using snakes during live performances, a relatively common practice in the region, and had previously appeared with pythons and boa constrictors. So, you know, folks, it's important to realize that, you know, culture is different where you're at. You know, entertainment is different. You know, and you might think, oh, well, that stupid, dumb person did this. Well, hey, but that's what they do. They use snakes.
I'm just surprised she didn't take the antidote. I mean, if the snake had bit her, she should have been well aware of how dangerous these snakes can be, you know? Now, so
she must have been, you know, thinking, well, that snake was defanged, so there was no problem.
Possibly.
So that becomes but still, you should always take an antidote. So 45 minutes after the bite took place, the performance was abandoned as Buell started vomiting and collapsed.
Oh, it says she refused an antidote from the snake handler. So they even tried to give it to her, and she didn't want it. Wow.
So the Indonesian police are investigating, and I don't know. I'll try to see if I can do a follow-up story.
That's quite interesting. Wow.
Moral of that story, take your antidote.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. You get bitten by a snake, you should take your antidote. No questions about it.
So now, let's bring it back to the good old United States and Colorado.
Oh, Colorado, that sounds like fun.
A Colorado politician wants to outlaw cannabis gummy bears. You know, Anthony.
Yes.
I could understand why there might want to be some limits on these edibles.
Yeah, and I'm not going to argue with that either.
You know, because you know what? I know, because I know myself, I could eat a moderate package of gummies pretty fast.
Well, I think this is more of a think of the children thing.
Well, but even still, I mean, just imagine, like, even like a 7-Eleven or convenience store sized bag, a small bag.
Yeah, that could be dangerous.
And say each one was filled with, like, oh God, whatever the highest limit of cannabis.
500 million doses. So you don't trust yourself around a small bag of cannabis infused gummy bears.
I might forget, or I might mix them, or something just stupid might happen.
Alright, fair enough. It's possible. It's possible. So
with the legalization, but you know, you're right. For kids, you're right. That's a good point. With the legalization of marijuana for recreational use in 2014, the great state of Colorado has seen its share of ingenious advancements. Many of these have to do with edibles, which now make up much of the billion-dollar weed industry there. Some recreational stores in Colorado are saying that edibles comprise a majority of their sales.
Okay.
Surprise, surprise. Smoking, you know what? It does get to be bothersome sometimes if you get a cold or...
And, you got to admit, it always does give you a little bit of a cough anyway. I mean, it's still, even when you're not smoking, you still get a cough every now and then from it, you know.
You know, so, but the good news often comes with a dose of bad news. And when it comes to edibles, the bad news is that kids are getting into it.
Yeah, wow.
So hospitals in Colorado have seen a surge in accidental consumption among 3 to 7 year olds. Now, you know what? I'm sorry, folks, but between 3, maybe 7, but 3, nuh-uh. There is no way in hell a 3-year-old is going to understand that that gummy bear contains marijuana. They're not going to understand the package.
Nope. They're just going to see a gummy bear.
And, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but it's the parents' fault. Well, it has to be.
Well, or somebody.
Somebody. Somebody watching that child or with that child.
Exactly. Whoever's in the care of that child, you know, the charge of that child is that.
You know, if you or I personally want to ingest half the bag each, that's our business.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But no, I mean, you know, and honestly, I kind of get it. It's even like with the suckers, I've seen some suckers and stuff. And I'm like, you know, I get it with certain edibles, but it's just like, I don't know. There is sometimes a point where you have to be responsible and think, just like the candy cigarettes. It's kind of like the whole, let's not make this so appealing to children.
Yeah. You know, so there's a congressman a Colorado state representative that wants to outlaw. He is a Democrat. He wants to outlaw weed-infused gummies. I kind of don't agree with him. I think... there needs to just be stiffer penalties. There needs to be some kind of a law that addresses responsibility.
But think of the children. Odd.
I know that sounds odd. It's like you're saying,
in a way, I look at it in a different sort of way. I look at it as a whole. Let's, as an industry, the whole weed industry out there, as us enjoyers of recreational cannabis, you know, I think we should at least take some responsibility and say, you know what, I understand, like you said, I understand. A 3-year-old is not going to be able to read the labeling and packaging.
Right.
They're just incapable of doing so. They don't know what a big pot leaf on a package means. They don't know what any of it. And even up to a 7-year-old, I can totally see how they would not understand this. So, gummies, sure. I mean, because the thing is, you know, he's not saying all edibles. He's not saying cookies and this and suckers, right, and blah, 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 blah. It's the gummies. I can totally see how a child could do this. And it's not going to kill the kid, but it's not something you should be putting a 7-year-old
in. No.
No. So, I don't know. I mean, it's sad that there has to be a ban. They're calling for a law to ban it.
Yeah.
But I think we should take responsibility and be like, you know what, maybe it's not such a good idea to make, you know, like gummies or things that the kids will like really like be drawn to, you know.
In a way, though, I do fear that there could be this panic that could ensue, because right now they're saying, oh my god, which ones are medicated, which ones are not medicated. Well, you are going to know the difference as an adult.
I would imagine, yes.
You just keep that stuff away from the kids.
No, exactly.
You know, so, but apparently, newly proposed legislation wouldn't go super far. Its target is just gummies, and if this representative has its way, sugar will be the only drug found in the beloved confection. And so, for now, it looks like you should get your edible gummies while you still can. Folks, that is, or are, your latest reports. Back to you, Anthony.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. I just, like, went on to a rant with that one. I'm obviously feeling quite better now. For my horrid day, and
good.
We're not going to go too much into detail with that. Anyway, thanks, Joe. Do you want to be part of our unique on-air experience? A with air with an E. Visit Shyamba.info to find out how. And back to you, Anthony. Thanks.
Whoops.
Hang tight, folks. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
You are tuned into Shyamba Weed Radio. Be a part of our on-air experience by giving us a call at 813-327-8566.
Milking our bandwidth for all it's worth with Shoutcast Streaming Audio.
This is CPRMetro.org. Community Progressive Radio for the metropolitan New York area and the world, and I'm Don DeBar. I'd like to speak with you about a couple of things. First, we need to grow our audience, and we need your help to do that. Please, using whatever social media you have, post links to the website cprmetro.org and to our Facebook page. We also need to raise money to pay the bills here. We spend about $330 a month to stream over the internet, and we have equipment that we have to replace from time to time. We'd even like to buy new equipment so that we can go out in the field and add more producers. Again, you can help. The donate button on our website is a convenient way to help us out. Finally, our 30-minute daily newscast, the CPR News, and our Sunday special, CPR Sunday, are available for air on radio stations and public access TV stations. Please contact your local radio station and public access TV station and ask them to carry it. Be persistent. Help us reach as many people as possible. We rely on you for support, and we appreciate all the support you give us. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe, your host on WEED Shyamba Radio. Do you miss those commercials that we used to broadcast? You know, some of those retro commercials for Alka-Seltzer and Kent Cigarettes and Philip Morris? Well, tonight, in Joe's retromercials, we bring them to you here on WEED Shiampa Radio.
Of great things with a Play-Doh Fun Factory.
I made spaghetti.
And now you can get a Play-Doh Fun Flyer free when you buy Fun Factory in specially marked packages. It's lots of fun and little enough to take with you wherever you go while supplies last. The Play-Doh Fun Factory toy comes with everything you see here from Kenner.
Here's big news. With Sears' great low prices every single day throughout the store, you'll find outstanding values like never before. Imagine an AT&T 1300 answering machine with one-touch playback of messages, call screening, and remote turn-on from any touch-tone phone for the great price of $58.88. That's only $58.88, a fantastic Sears price for a fantastic AT&T answering machine. So check it out at Sears, where you get your money's worth and a whole lot more.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from NullSoft Shoutcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Stay tuned. Anthony's Wild Florida News is next. Before we kick off into segment B, I first want to tell you that today is National Animal Crackers Day, National Columnists Day, and National Lineman Appreciation Day. So grab your bones, bitches, and let's eat some animal crackers, read a newspaper, untangle some wires. Oh, fuck it. Let's get started already with segment B of the Joe and Anthony Show.
Wow, Betty, that was awesome.
I wish I would have read the script and saw that it was National Animal Crackers Day. I would have bought some animal crackers for my day today.
I am eating crackers. They're just not animal crackers. Well,
you're closer than I am. You know, I actually don't have any food on my desk right now. So it's just it's been a gastric weekend. So we're kind of not too hungry right now.
So what kind of food do we got in store for us when I come down there?
I don't know. Nothing really exciting. You're coming to Tampa, dude. I mean, the best I can probably get you is a Cuban sandwich. That's probably about as authentic as you're going to get. Everything else, well, pick a chain.
I do want to go to the gyros place because they do more than just gyros, right?
The Greek place?
Yeah,
they do. They do. It's a chain. Yeah. It's actually a chain. It's like a Burger King down here. Okay. It's like a Subway almost. But no, they do different type of Greek things. They do the chicken stuff and the gyros and the.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll explore some different.
But you get potato salad on your Greek salad down here.
Potato salad.
Yes, if you get a Greek salad in Florida, they put a big heaping wad of potato salad in the middle of it.
Wow.
It's very strange. It's taken me a while to get used to. And people look at me really strangely, and I'm like, no, I don't want potato salad on that. And they're like, what?
I don't mind potato salad, though. Have you had the potato salad?
No, I've really never gone that far. I usually get a gyro anyway, so...
You know. Yeah, it's true.
Exactly. So
folks, I'm looking forward to checking out the Tampa studios and finally meeting Betty and... And Roger in person, because whenever Buddy's here in the Chicago studio, she comes and goes, and I never see her.
It's true. It's going to be interesting trying to fit you in at this workstation here. we'll figure it out. We'll get it figured out.
Well, Do you have XLR, long XLR cords? Because I could just sit somewhere with the microphone in my hands.
Yeah, actually, I do. I can. I got a place I can borrow one from. So, actually, I got a few long ones, actually.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, you're going to give you a mic stand. It's going to be a tabletop mic stand. You can hang out over here at the workstation. I just got to move some shit around. Because you're not... Are you going to have anything? A computer or anything in front of you or something?
No.
No? Well, okay, well, then fine.
I mean, I'm going to bring my tablets. I'll have my phone.
Oh, and you'll just get all your news and stuff off your tablet then?
Yeah, I'll be able to look at the script and do the...
Okay. Yeah, I thought... I didn't know what you needed to look at the script, because I usually keep it on the screen over here, so you wouldn't be able to see it from where you were sitting, so...
Yeah, my tablet will serve just fine, and I can bring an attachment that'll allow me to prop the tablet up.
Okay, okay. No, that's fine, then. Then we will definitely have plenty of free desk space, then.
I'm also contemplating bringing my Bluetooth keyboard. I'm not sure.
Okay, that sounds good. Actually, none of my computer doesn't accept Bluetooth.
No, but my tablet does.
Oh, see, there you go. Well, that makes sense, then. You don't have, like, one of those all-in-one cases things for your tablet?
No, I don't. Right, well, I didn't go that route.
That's what happens.
So I wanted to talk about the National Lineman Appreciation Day, because didn't you, in a previous lifetime, have to deal with something like this? Oh, but this is electrical lineman. So, folks, April 18th has been designated as National Lineman Appreciation Day. If the power is on when you are reading this article, you likely have a lineman to thank. From the power plant, the grid crossing, the country, both have above and underground, and right up to the meters on our homes. These men and women build and maintain the system that keeps our nation running.
Oh, so we're talking like IBEW linemen, not NFL linemen.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Regardless of the source, the electricity has to be transported by employing transformers and other equipment. Due to the dangerous conditions electricity poses, safety is of utmost importance for both the lineman and the consumer. You know, that's true. I mean, it's a lot of work maintaining those higher voltage wires, I'm sure.
A lot of ours is underground.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. There's some, but a lot of our stuff is underground here. Especially in the neighborhoods. It's all underground. We all get the lawn warts.
Yeah, depending on which neighborhood you talk about in the city.
Most of yours is above ground, yeah.
Most is above ground. You have some neighborhoods where it is below ground.
Downtown, it's all underground.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major hubs is of the city. Probably like O'Hare is all underground.
But you know what? Knocking on wood exactly right now, we have not had a power outage around here at all.
Oh, I get them from time to time. It's Florida.
And Roscoe Village, they installed those smart switches. So if one block goes out for whatever reason, it'll slip over to the next block.
Oh, see, we don't have that fun stuff here. I got a refrigerator in the front lawn that's from 1976. Probably older. Probably like 1974.
Does your power company allow you to sign up for a peak time alert and get a credit on your bill if you reduce your electricity?
No.
Oh, well, ComEd recently introduced this, which, yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if I'll save any more money than I'm already saving, but it's good to kind of try to keep in mind to reduce your electricity consumption as the summer months approach. Maybe get used to, like, keeping your thermostat a little bit higher because, you know, if you don't have an efficient system or if you get a lot of drafty conditions, you might want to take care of that in your house.
Interesting.
There goes Roger.
Exactly. I'm looking to see what our electrical company here helps us do.
Apparently, all I did is I signed it up to send me text messages. So, right when peak, and that'll be interesting data to also note, because if they're sending you a text message to say, "Hey, start saving electricity," that means there's a lot of demand at that moment.
Well, I have something called a energy planner that has something to do with the weekends and the internet. The only problem I have sometimes is I think a lot of times they Do I have to? Oh, I see. I see. Near my water heater and heat pump.
So they kind of look at things that are big.
Like unfortunately for me, I have to have they have to replace my thermostat, but it won't work with my system. Because my system uses a specialized thermostat. It's all.
But don't you already have like energy efficient thermostating setups?
Yeah, my thermostat's energy, but I can't take advantage of a lower rate. I mean, I upgraded to a 19 SEER air conditioner, which is very energy efficient, and the biggest break they gave me was $150.
Wow.
Which was ridiculous.
Well, apparently, also ComEd here will, if you purchase appliances that can connect to their smart meter, they will be able to regulate those appliances. And that could be like an air conditioning unit or a refrigerator, a hot water tank. And so they'll lower the power usage when it's prime time. And, you know, it's like some people get freaked out by that because it's like, well, you're taking away the... It's like, well, come on, you know, be realistic.
True, very true, very true.
You know, there's a lot of things you can do to make things cooler in your apartment without having to force it down to 67.
I like to keep the blinds closed. That helps a lot.
Yes, yes. And even just light colored but heavy curtains can do the trick, too.
This is also very true.
So you still get some light, but it'll be nice and diffused. Because we like diffused lighting.
Diffused lighting is good. It keeps it nice, you know.
So we never got around to asking you what's going on in your world.
Not a lot. it was a busy day at work today, and the weekend was, it was an interesting weekend. You know, we had some electrical problems at the studio this weekend. So, at first we lost power to one branch circuit in the middle of the afternoon. It was because I was rooting around in the garage looking for something, and I knocked an outlet. And apparently that outlet facilitates a branch circuit. So apparently when I bumped it, the connection popped out of the back of it.
Whoops.
That fed the branch circuit. So then I lost power to like half the house. Or not the half the house. I mean like the dining room and the microwave. I lost the microwave and the dining room. So I didn't know exactly what that meant. And it took me a while to figure it out, but I got that going. But in the process, I went through the breakers. I tried to reset all the breakers, and in the process the breaker for the dishwasher now apparently does not work properly. So, there needs to be some work done over the course of the weekend. But, you know, I don't necessarily know. I don't necessarily know when. Probably tomorrow, I'm thinking. So, you know, one will have to take the studio offline for probably about a half hour, 15 minutes, something like that.
Yes. Just to give it the proper attention and focus.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, speaking of power, I've been giving some consideration and thought with this electronics hobby of designing circuits with, and I'll have to experiment exactly how many LEDs I would need to actually have it as usable light, but creating circuits that would be fed with just using the USB power. Because I've already proven that USB power works with that scale.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I was able to create a circuit that could use the 5 volts to power a series of really high-performance LEDs...
That's true. You get 2 amps out of it, I think. 2 amps at most out of the outlet thingy. So that's pretty good. I mean, that's about 220 watts. You've disappeared. Okay, there we go.
So, no, I wanted to take a look at what this LED usage is here. So this currently is a 6.5 watt bulb, and it's 66 milliamps.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm not sure what kind of technology they use to amplify the light, but...
I think they just use a high-intensity LED.
Right. So in which case, I could use the same kind of technology, but use just the 5 volts.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of it being... And wouldn't that be awesome to, like, be able to wire up a portion of your house where you have just your lighting to use the USB. So everything is just a USB cord plug-in. That'd be cool.
That sounds interesting. That's different until the USB hub crashes. I wish I had a Windows error message sound effect, but I don't.
Oops. So, hey, Anthony, I hear you have some news.
Do I have news? Oh, I do have news. It's time for some news. Hold on. We got to access the database again. All right. Florida news. Make sure I put this bitch on repeat. There we go. All right. I'm done looking at the energy planner. Okay. All right, folks. Let's get started. Finding good crack in Claremont, Florida can be difficult with a population of only 30,000 people. So allegedly one night, according to the Daily Commercial, Sharon Wilkerson had finally had enough of it. Claremont police responded to a bitch fight in progress on Chestnut Street and talked with a woman who said Sharon confronted her and began pointing a finger in her face. The woman said she told Sharon to back off before getting punched in the face. Sharon, who appeared to be drunk, told police she was angry because the victim, quote, gave her some bad crack, end quote. Sharon denied hitting the victim, who had a bloody nose, and confirmed the other woman hit her. Police don't buy her story. Jail records show that Sharon has been arrested 12 times previously on charges that include battery, felony battery, domestic battery, aggravated battery, simple assault, and possession of cocaine. Sharon was charged with felony battery and disorderly intoxication. On this round, she was released from the Lake County Jail after posting $2,500 bond.
So how many times do you think she's going to do this again?
Oh, well, clearly she's been doing it quite a few times before, so I'm sure she'll just keep doing it. She'll keep doing it until she can't afford to bail herself out anymore. That's what happens. That's what happens. Or until she gets some help. Sounds like she needs some help.
She needs some serious help, but she needs some wanted, so I don't know, man.
That's always the hard part. It's always the hard part. Well, there are other people that need some help, too, and probably don't realize it. All right. So when you're planning to rob a store, you need to take every precaution. Bay New 9. All right, let's try that again. Bay News 9 out of Tampa tells us a tale of Anthony Dixon, who went a little overboard. Hernando County Sheriff's deputies were alerted to the break-in by a 911 call from someone in the area who heard the sound of breaking glass and then saw Anthony running from the store. A subsequent search of the suspect led to deputies to an area where a large amount of white powdery substance had been sprayed, as well as two spent fire extinguishers stolen from a nearby apartment complex. Tips from bystanders eventually led deputies to Anthony, not me, the other Anthony, Anthony Dixon, who they noted had a white, powdery substance on his legs. They took Anthony into custody without further incident. When deputies questioned Anthony, he admitted to breaking into the Family Dollar store to steal cigarettes. He also admitted to stealing the fire extinguishers from Mariner City Apartments and spraying himself with them in an effort to elude authorities. Deputies charged Dixon with burglary and criminal mischief, along with two counts of grand theft. Why are you holding a tablet in your hand for stolen fire extinguishers? His bond was set at $11,000, and we still don't know what the purpose of spraying himself with the fire extinguisher would have done. Are you doing coke off of that notepad? What the hell are you doing over there?
I was trying to reenact the story.
Oh.
So, because I'm trying to figure out how would he get it on his legs, but the only
they
thing
have a hose on it. You just spray yourself with
but he had a white powdery substance. No.
Oh no, the white powdery substance was the fire extinguisher stuff.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
All right. Yes, he sprayed himself down with the fire extinguisher, and that was the white powdery substance that they found. So dude covered himself in fire extinguisher substance and robbed a Family Dollar for cigarettes, and somehow thought it would hide him from the police.
Wow.
Yes. It's just that crazy. All right, so we are moving on. We know what this music means. It means nakedness. Florida nakedness. What's Florida news without someone getting naked? Because apparently it's never hard to find naked people in Florida. The Santa Rosa's Gazette brings us quite a bizarre tale this evening from Navarre, Florida.
Sexy.
Right down the road from Pensacola. According to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, a woman living on Bay Club Drive called her neighbor, a retired Georgia Sheriff's deputy, to report that Mark Barringer was standing in his front yard wearing a pink bathrobe, under which he had on a woman's bra and panties. The woman said Mark's genitals were just hanging out of the panties, clearly visible to her as she drove by. Jesus, woman. Either he was hung like a horse, you drive with binoculars, or you just totally just exaggerating. I go for the latter.
Do you remember Mrs. Kravitz from Bewitched?
I do.
That's what some of these people sound like.
Some of them do. Some of them sound like Hyacinth from Keeping Up Appearances.
Yes.
The retired deputy who lives next door to Mark went outside and saw him standing on his lawn. He told Santa Rosa deputies when Mark turned to face him, he could see Mark's private parts hanging out of the panties. He said Mark asked him if he was going to call the cops and then went back inside his house. When deputies interviewed Mark, he said he had gone outside to get his garbage can and was wearing shorts and a tank top under his pink fuzzy robe. He admitted his robe slipped open, but he was fully clothed underneath. Yes, exactly. He was doing the Marilyn Monroe thing, you know, the whole Marilyn Monroe. I'm standing over a subway grate. Oh, there goes my pink frilly bathrobe. Look at me, Mrs. Kravitz. Yeah. So the woman later told deputies Mark was definitely wearing a bra and panties. That she could not miss. Hi, Katie. And he exposed himself. Both she and the retired deputy said this was not the first time it happened and that Mark exposed himself on multiple occasions. A deputy wrote in his arrest report that Mark seemed abnormally frightened and his demeanor was not consistent with a person being accused of this type of offense. I don't know. If I was accused of my shit hanging out, I'd be kind of nervous, too. In providing a written statement, Mark allegedly wrote, "I was told I flashed someone and decided what he was wearing. Oh, and described what he was wearing, but did not describe the incident." The deputy added that the sheriff's office had in the past responded to two complaints of a man wearing a bathrobe with a bra and panties, but they weren't able to find him in the past. There we go.
Maybe he wasn't standing out there for more than like 2 seconds. Man.
Well, obviously long enough for Mrs. Kravitz to drive by and see his junk, call the neighbor, and the neighbor to go outside and see his junk. So that's a few good minutes right there.
Free.
Yes, clearly, he was ding-a-linging everywhere. Mark was arrested and charged with indecent exposure. Yeah. All right. So here's our last story of the night. I'm not sure if this music is appropriate anymore. Now that I'm listening to it, what's this one? Okay, this sounds better. All right, there we go. Sometimes we make musical mistakes when we're writing our scripts on Sundays. Because what sounds good at one time, and then after that percolates with you for a day, and then you're like, wait, I got a better track for this. All right. So cheerleading can be a tough sport with a lot of high-pressure demands on a child's parents, and sometimes they just get to be a bit too much. According to the Sun Sentinel, Stephanie Moore Waddle is the latest victim of soccer mom fatigue syndrome.
Soccer mom fatigue.
Yeah, that's my own creation. I was trying to come up with something with a good acronym. Stephanie grew upset after Felicia, bye Felicia, Quinones took Stephanie's daughter out of a cheer routine during a January cheerleading practice at Timber Creek High School, according to police reports. Stephanie said Felicia suspended her daughter from a cheer competition after the cheerleader had an anxiety attack and left a performance the prior day. Well, yeah, no shit. Stephanie told police in a statement, Felicia humiliated her daughter at practice by allegedly yelling at her and making her sit and watch the other cheerleaders.
Wow.
Yeah, right? I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I played some sports in high school and middle school, and I wasn't very good at them. So I had to sit and watch the other people play as well many times. I was what you would call a bench warmer or the water boy. So I'm like, that really wasn't quite humiliating. In fact, I was kind of happy with that because that means I didn't have to go chase after a ball. Exactly. Stephanie went to the high school cafeteria where the girls were practicing around 3:30 in the afternoon and allegedly got into her face, her being Felicia. So the mother got into the coach's face. Felicia, bye Felicia, asked the mother to leave. But Stephanie returned again with her daughter's cheer uniform balled up in her hand and allegedly punched the coach in the left side of the face. Two of Stephanie's daughters were with her when she allegedly slugged the cheer coach. Wow, it's befitting behavior in front of your children. That hold on, that deserves a trophy.
And this.
So, Stephanie said in her written statement she had only thrown the cheer uniform at Felicia, but a reliable 15-year-old witness said Felicia threw the uniform straight at Felicia's face forcibly. The uniform clearly hit her face. Deputies with the Orange County Sheriff's Office took a report the day the alleged incident, but Stephanie was not arrested until the following Tuesday after charges were filed. Stephanie was booked into the Orange County Jail and was released the same day after posting $1,500 bond, according to the court report. And remember, folks, everyone gets a trophy. So, yeah, so soccer mom's gone crazy. That's kind of amazing. What are we going to do about that?
You know, I really don't know what to say, man. That's really fucked up.
I mean, really?
I've been noticing, though, that it seems like there's certain things that are regional.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain activities and behaviors. They're stupid no matter what region, but, you know, like, you don't hear that those some of these things in Chicago.
True.
You know, here it's mostly you get killed. You get shot.
We don't hear about soccer moms going crazy. We're too busy reporting all the murders going on.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting. It's about as interesting as spraying yourself with a fire extinguisher to evade police, which I don't quite understand where that came from.
I'm invisible.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, did you think you were invisible? What did you really think was going to happen?
Exactly.
I'm like, what did you think was going to happen when you sprayed yourself and then broke into a store? I mean, maybe he thought that the powder would kind of hide his appearance.
Feel the burn.
Yeah, right. Spray that shit all over you. That definitely make it burn.
Uh-huh.
That's for sure. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of all a little crazy. It's all a little crazy tonight. So we're gonna wrap up our Florida news with our pink fuzzy bathrobe.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank the database you are tuned to, Shyampa Radio. Do you want to be a part of this unique on-air experience? Visit shyampa.info to find out how. Back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Betty. Yeah, see, the shorter one just seems so much better, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It does. It just kind of flows through. It flows through. All right, so I got 16 seconds left on the clock. So, thanks, Betty. Stay tuned, because we'll be back in a little bit. Yep. And remember, spraying yourself with fire retardant may be retarded, but it won't hide you from the police. That sounded better when I wrote it. We have to take care of some business, folks, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Listen, turn up. We're not NPR. We only ask that you talk up once in a while. Keep your wallets in your pocket, and if you happen to have on one flat and one pump, well, we have some wisdom for you, and that is keep it tuned to WEED for your oral caffeine.
Milking our bandwidth for all it's worth with Shoutcast Streaming Audio.
The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. In 1984, biologist E.O. Wilson made a suggestion for which a lesser scientist would have been ridiculed, if not completely ignored. Wilson proposed the biophilia hypothesis, an idea that says humans have an innate tendency to focus on life and other life forms. Science will bristle with alarm at the word innate, unless you can give the specific coordinates on the genome where the behavior arises out of DNA. Wilson based his biophilia idea on his own experience, watching insects from the time of his earliest memory. Watching the creatures, or even scanning the forest floor looking for them, he would find himself in a timeless state of concentration, riveted and receptive to minutiae and detail. He called this state the hunter's trance, connecting it to the anecdotal reports of many hunters, and argued that the ability to enter such a trance is connected to humans' enormous evolutionary success. When they left the forest for life on the savanna, hominids who entered the hunter's trance were able to learn the habits of carnivorous predators as well as the animals they hunted. Those who didn't have that ability were most likely to get eaten and might not find anything to eat. It's a nice thought. There's a certain logic to it. But it's not science. Or at least it wasn't in 1984 when Wilson made the suggestion and it wasn't particularly well received. Where would such a trance come from? And why would the tendency to concentrate on other living things be innate? Enter oxytocin, a hormone best known for starting childbirth and inducing lactation. It turns out that it does a lot more than that. Oxytocin is secreted at the base of the brain, in the hypothalamus, and the entire nervous system is sensitive to its effects. Oxytocin production is stimulated by estrogen, but it is not a female-only hormone because men produce it as well. Oxytocin lowers the heart rate and blood pressure, quiets the brain's fear center, and suppresses the production of stress hormones. Childbirth begins with a flood of oxytocin that contracts the uterus and stimulates milk production. Nursing stimulates the production of more oxytocin, as does the sight or sound of the baby. New mothers will even produce oxytocin at the mention of their baby's names or upon seeing a photograph. It's oxytocin that puts new mothers in the brain-addled state that allows them to spend hours gazing at their babies, finding new and fascinating details in their faces and tiny bodies. The equivalent of a hunter's trance in the mother ensures survival for the otherwise helpless infant. All mammals produce oxytocin. Rats injected with oxytocin will engage in social behaviors with other rats, even in stressful situations where they would ordinarily flee one another. When injected with an oxytocin blocker, rats who had been familiar with one another no longer recognized each other under any circumstances, although they could still do their typical maze-running, lever-pressing tricks. When rats are gently stroked, they release oxytocin. Prairie voles establish a lifetime pair bond by lying quietly next to each other for hours as their oxytocin levels mount. Oxytocin could be the reason why we have pets and domesticated animals. When humans and dogs have friendly interactions with one another, the oxytocin level of both the human and the dog nearly double. So, are you feeling stressed and jittery? Overly anxious? An oxytocin rush could put you back on the map. You can get it by gazing into the eyes of any creature, even a creature in a picture. That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.
You are tuned into Shyamba We Radio. Be a part of our on-air experience by giving us a call at 813-327-8566.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Null Soft Shoutcast.
Alrighty. We're back.
I just took another chunk of chip. I've been eating these multigrain organic apples, smoked applewood multigrain chips are delicious.
No, it sounds delicious. I'm working on a pint of Ben and Jerry's half-baked.
Well, after the show, I'm going to go across the street, of course, because now I got ice cream.
Oh, see, there you go. There you go. You got ice cream across the street. That's good.
Well, we have the 7-Eleven, and my favorite Ben and Jerry's is the, it's the one with that core of cookie. It's the cookie core.
I don't think I've had that one yet.
Oh, it's good. You'll love it, because it's also got coffee ice cream in it.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, this is the first time I've had Ben and Jerry's in probably a couple of months, so next time I try it, I'll have to look for the cookie core thing.
Yep. So, folks, I got to try a new restaurant here in Chicago today. It's called Southport Grocery. And the concept is it's got like a mini grocery store inside.
Now, where is this located?
It's located roughly at Addison and Southport.
Okay, okay.
So that's in the Lakeview neighborhood.
All right.
So, but they're kind of more brunchy, and they do some of the fancy French toasts fancy sandwiches. And, you know, they got a little store inside, and they carry different organic spices and flours and pancake mixes and jellies and a few other little assorted odds and ends, candies, all that kind of stuff. And they also serve food. They have a spacious indoor and a really nice little patio outdoors. So if you're ever in the city, come check it out.
All right. Well, that sounds interesting. That sounds interesting. And again, that's at the name and the location?
The name is Southport Grocer.
All right.
And it's located roughly Addison and Southport. I suppose I could do a Google search.
You could.
There we go, Southport Grocery. It is located at 3552 North Southport Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60657. Their phone number is 773-665-0100, and their hours are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can find them at southportgrocery.com.
Sweet.
You know what? I got to tell you, I've been really loving Google. If you've kind of got your ducks in a row and you've been populating your stuff, Google does a really wonderful service where everything about your business is easily quantifiable and available.
Google knows.
Mm-hmm. You know, all the nitty-gritty has been on Apple and the FBI with that phone from that terrible incident in San Bernardino. But what people don't realize is that Google has sort of just gone and done it by just being your platform for everything.
No, that's true. They really have, and it works across all bunches. It even works with the Apple devices.
Right?
It works on everything. What the hell is that? Is that the tree people coming to attack us through the Skype? Oh my goodness, it's changing colors now. I think I should probably put this ice cream down.
This is a fiber optic tree that I recently found.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things when you go and you clean out your closet and you just find crazy things.
You just kind of had that stuff. Where do you think its actual origins come from?
You know, I have a feeling this came from a Market Days kind of event.
Really? So you don't even remember buying it then?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's probably pretty toasted.
Maybe. Maybe.
But you know, now that I look at it, it reminds me, if you guys are Star Trek nerds, it reminds me of the crystalline entity.
Ooh, there you go.
And I think it was Omicron 5.
Omicron 5?
Yes. It was some kind of entity that it terrorized this colony. And Data, the android, was on this planet. And
he runs Betamax 3.
Right? That is your sci-fi section of this show tonight.
Oh my goodness. Go further with that. Okay, well, fair enough.
Unfortunately, folks, it doesn't look like Joe Wisdom sent over a cart tonight.
That's all right. We can yimmer yammer for a while.
Yeah.
That's generally not a problem for us. And if you'd like to join in on the yimmer yammering, how can they get a hold of us, Joe?
They can give us a call at 813-327-8566. Or you can Skype us right now by putting Shyampa.radio in your contacts.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny when I do the little bumps and whatnot for the shows, because I've been really getting into it with the Joe Tech, just coming up with different ideas for my intro, and I'll sit and record, and sometimes I'll have like 5 to 10 minute long intros, and I just delete them because I'm like, it's ridiculous.
Well, you know, hey, a 10 minute intro, a 10 minute intro. It's your 6 hours to do with it as you please.
I know, but I don't want to take away from some of the awesome programming that I've been listening to.
Sounds reasonable. Sounds reasonable.
Right?
Exactly. So, wow. Yeah, it's been a day. For Monday, it's been a day already, that's for sure.
I know.
But it's evening time, and it's time to unwind, and, you know.
Yes, it is. It's time to relax, and you know what?
Some ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream sounds really good.
I'm going to regret this in the morning.
As a matter of fact, I have no responsibilities whatsoever to take care of this moment, so I may get that ice cream. I have been following Battlestar Galactica again. I kind of found the series, and I found a cool way to stream it. So I'm going to get that going and probably just do some SimCity building.
There you go. There you go. I'm going to go to bed.
There we go.
But I have an early morning ahead of me, so yeah, I gotta do my whole nightly ritual. But most of my stuff, I'm pretty much, even with the dishwasher broken, things have pretty much moved along quite well here. So things are washed and put in appropriate places and drying. I'm not happy with it, but you know.
I hear you. That's, you know, folks, you haven't heard us talk much about politics. I know Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are going to duke it out tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I believe the New York primary is happening tomorrow. Should be interesting to see how that all kind of works out. I don't know.
At the end of the day, it's like I've seen some people on my Facebook feed kind of talk how, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just going to vote for whoever the nominee is. It's like, fuck that. Mm-hmm. You know what? I agree. In my voting career, I don't think I've ever voted for a winner more than 20% of the time.
Really? You voted for Chewy, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. Because Rahm is just... He's not to be trusted, man.
Do you think Chewie would have done a better job than what Rahm is doing?
Yeah, I think things would have gotten done.
Okay, that seems reasonable.
I think compromises would have happened that would have afforded everyone a place at the table.
Okay.
Now, you know, it kind of all goes back to how the city operates, which is cronyism.
God, it's horrible.
I mean, that's all it is. And you know, it's hard to elect people that are good and also avoid that. I think once it's entrenched inside of your organization, it's
kind of hard to get rid of.
Yeah,
it's game a very over. Difficult thing to get. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And the same could be said about a few once great cities suffered from the same problems. And You know, that's the next question is, will Chicago be the next Detroit? Will Chicago be the next Gary? You know, what's going on? I mean, Illinois in itself has had a net loss of population.
Yes.
In the past year.
Population.
So clearly people are leaving the state.
Right.
To what end, though? Who knows?
And that causes less revenue to come through in terms of that tax revenue to pay things down. Now, you know, the more that I think about it and hear from people, I'm guesstimating that, you know, there's quite the possibility that based on how we currently operate in this world, these teachers are demanding more than what the world is willing to give them.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think that's not very... You know, not very, and I people argue that they do get paid a high salary, or some of them get paid a high salary, but that they have to do a lot of shit. It's expected. They have to live in the city. That's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is on a standard teacher's salary, which is not very good, you can't afford to live in the city. And most times you couldn't afford to live in near your school.
But not only are your living expenses one thing, you most times have to also cover the supplies and then get grants to later pay you back.
That's true, too. Yep, definitely.
For the supplies that you need to teach. So yep. It's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and then I saw something about this whole Lucas Museum thing, which...
You know what? This is just... It's smokescreen, man. It has to be, because there's no way they can demolish and lose that incredible source of revenue. That's really place.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense. But people have done dumber things. I don't know. And that's the whole thing. It's just like... And then I saw the other fact that it was like Illinois and Chicago are going to have to like spend a lot, like flip a chunk of change.
$2 billion.
How much was it again?
$1.2 billion, I believe.
That's ridiculous.
Was it $2.1 billion? It's one of those dyslexic figures.
It's at least $1 billion, which is ridiculous. The state is broke. The city is broke. You don't want to pay... You know, you can't pay your teachers. You can't pay to keep up your schools. And you're going to spend at least $1 or $2 billion on this freaking Lucas Museum. Exactly. Joe is giving me an interpretation of smoke through the fiber optic tree interpretation through dance. There it goes. Are you bringing the fiber optic tree for your field trip? Are you going to take a fiber optic field trip with your tree?
I don't know if this is going to pass through security.
Probably not. they'll toss it or something.
I'd be like, look! It changes colors.
They're like, it's a countdown timer! Yeah. Yeah, that would be surprising. That would be surprising. Ooh.
So, folks, we're 40, but, you know, we're not over the hill.
No, not quite.
It's hard to determine that in podcast years, because it's like, what, it's 40.
40 episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, for TV shows, that would be two seasons of the old run. Of the new run of TV shows, we're actually into like three or probably four or five seasons. There's a lot. No, because a lot of TV shows, a season for a TV series now is like 10 episodes. It used to be like 26.
It's like 24, 25.
26, 24, blah, blah, blah. Now, if you look at any of the new television out there, most seasons are about 8 to 10 episodes.
But is that enough for character development?
No, I don't think so.
And all the things that are required to really get a full, like, feeling. I'm telling you, man, like, some of these shows that I watch, it's like they really pay attention to really developing these characters, and it almost becomes overboard. It's like you got to keep track of a lot of things.
Well, yeah, you do. But that's the problem when you have these really, really short, you know, seasons now. They try to jam-pack so much into, you know, a little five-pound bag that, you know, it just becomes... You lose so much. You can lose so much with a good story. And at the end of the story, you're like, but I have questions, and you're never going to answer those questions. And it's going to kind of... It takes away from the whole development. But I don't know. I mean, what do I know? I don't work in Hollywood. I sit in a Denki studio in Tampa and do a radio show once a week.
Yep.
For like three listeners.
We have three listeners?
No. No, we don't. This is all recast, baby.
That's all right. I love it either way. It'll happen.
But it was kind of funny though, because it shows you kind of where we kind of straddle the fence on the whole concept, because a friend of mine listened, and I believe he listens on a fairly regular basis, because he's made references to the show here and there. So I don't know if he listens occasionally or if he's one of the ones that grab our episode every week. And if it is, hi, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We much appreciate it. Just don't go out in a pink robe and panties. Some old woman will call the police on you.
We love you, and I'll make some fried food for you.
We'll make some bacon. We'll have bacon. So, anywho, where was I going with this? So, exactly, Penny. So, I've totally lost my track. Oh, yes, the whole the concept that we are alive as well seems to be kind of an interesting thing, because he's mentioned to me before. He's like, I'm listening, and you started doing the weather, which was really strange. He's like, and then I forgot you guys are live when you do the show. And I'm like, yes, exactly. That's why we do the weather. So, you know, and it's kind of funny that it provoked that reaction out of him. I'm like, all right, that's cool. We're all good with that. Clearly we're getting regular and faster regular downloads. So people are actually waiting for us. And thank you for those of you that are downloading and listening to us, as long as you're not the DEA or NSA or anything like that. Thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it. We don't mean the world no harm. We're just peaceful people in the privacy of our homes, sharing our adventures.
Yes.
But those of you that are listening and enjoy our program, thank you. We appreciate your support. Please, by all means, you know, you can send, if you want, you can send a private Facebook message to let us know. I mean, you might not be like, well, I can't really post on here, because then I know some coworkers, I'm friends with them on Facebook, and they'll see this and they might question something. So I totally get that. So you can always just, you know, send us a private message. I said voicemails, we won't reveal, you know, if you don't want us to play it back, we won't play it back. Just say it in your voicemail. We will dictate whatever you leave us.
Listen, I've told most of my coworkers, so they know by now that I do this. So,
well, that's none of mine know.
Right. Mine do. And if they say something, it's like, well, okay, it's my hobby.
Yeah, exactly. Good for you. Exactly. So, me on the other hand, I am totally guarded with my personal life. So, we appreciate that here and all that jazz.
I agree. I totally agree at this. But yeah, you know, I'm finding this to be a really cool outlet. And so, yeah, the recast is even more fun, because you get a chance to go back and listen to it again.
And again. And again. And again. And again. And, you know, maybe try out our radio station once in a while. We do play some good stuff. You know, it's you can. Oh. It's that time. We've made it another hour and a half. We're going to be 41 next week.
Yes. Wait,
we get to do it on our 41. Our 41st is when we do our together live episode. So, anywho, you know, listen to us, visit our Facebook page, listen to the station, listen.chiampa.info, or just chiampa.info. There's a listen live link. Check us out. We have some really good programming, and we carry some really good stuff. We're low band. If you go to the listen site, you can stream in 64K. It does not take up that much data. I listen to it to and from work and at work sometimes on my phone, and I probably use less than a gig a month. So the low bandwidth, I don't know if you use more or not, but
today was horrible, because it would not work at all on the 64.
Oh, well, no, today, yeah, I noticed for some reason that stream went down. So that unfortunately is what happened. So anyway, folks, we got 15 seconds left anyway. All right, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. We'll be back next week. Remember, folks, vote with your head, not your vagina. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Stay tuned for a brand new This Way Out.
This station is being brought to you via NullSoft Shoutcast streaming technology. For more information, visit shoutcast.com.
Sounds for promotional background and other tracks are from Incompetech by Kevin McLeod. Visit them at IM.